And now I just want to introduce our speaker, Tracy Stevenson, who has come from New Zealand, where she and her husband are serving at Shepherd's Bible College. Greg is the vice principal. And Tracy has had the opportunity to disciple some of the women there. Tracy, why don't you go ahead and tell us about yourself?
Well, good afternoon, ladies. It's really a huge, huge blessing for me to be here with you today. I know you probably hear that from a lot of the speakers, but, you know, it really is a huge blessing for me to be here with you today. And so thank you to Jill for allowing me to speak to you. So as she said, we are missionaries in New Zealand. We've been there for just over 3 years now. And before I begin to tell you about our ministry in New Zealand, I do want to just publicly thank you, thank this group for your involvement with missionaries. Now that I am on the field, I can see the other side. And I just want to express how precious it is to know that you're here praying for us. And I remember our first anniversary in New Zealand, December of 2010, we got an anniversary card, and we had no idea who it was from. I mean, we didn't recognize the name that had signed it. And so we were just blown away that someone would recognize, you know, the anniversary, the occasion, and, you know, send us a card. And then, you know, the following June, my birthday came around, and same thing. I got this package of goodies, and I was just blown away. Because it was from somebody I didn't know. And so I just want to publicly thank you for that. And also just to mention that, you know, and just encourage you not to underestimate how much that means to the missionaries, because it really is a huge blessing to know that you're here praying and giving financially and sending those cards. It's such a huge, huge blessing. So, and then before I share about our ministry in New Zealand, I want to just tell you a little bit about how New Zealand came about. Ran into Mary Bella. I don't know if she's here, but Mary Bella, known her for 100 years. And she said, "You're in New Zealand?" And so, you know, you might be in the same camp. So I just want to just share with you how New Zealand came about. From 2001 to 2009, Greg has served as an associate pastor at Christ Community Church, which is in West Covina. And in August of 2009, our pastor approached Greg and said, "Are you still interested in missions?" And Greg had expressed somewhere along the way that he was interested in missions, but at that time he was content to just be an associate pastor. That was obviously where the Lord had us. So he was content to be an associate pastor, and he was not pursuing any other missions opportunities. But when our pastor approached him and said, "Are you still interested in missions?" he said, "Well, yes, absolutely." And so our pastor said, "Well, I think now's a good time for you to start, you know, pursuing that and see what opportunities come about." Well, it didn't take long for us to decide where we wanted to go. We just, you know, needed some direction from the Lord. And so the first area of interest was, of course, New Zealand. The reason for that is that Greg spent a year there with Campus Crusade back in his college days, and that was long before we met. And he just loved it. He just loved the country, the culture, everything about New Zealand. So when our pastor gave him permission, he made contact with Russell Honick, who's the pastor there at Riverbend, and he's also the principal at Shepherd's Bible College. And Greg just said, "You know, do you have any needs? Is there anything, you know, we could be involved in?" Little did we know, the men at Shepherd's were praying for help. And they knew they didn't have the financial resources to pay anyone, but they knew they needed help. The students had completed the program that was available, and they wanted more. They wanted more more coursework, more curriculum to take, and they didn't have You know, they didn't have anything else to take. They had done everything they could. So the men decided they wanted to pursue the development of more coursework, more program, more curriculum that they could offer to the students. So that's what Greg was hired to do. And so with our elders' blessing, we began pursuing that ministry. We came home. We made an investigative trip there in just after Thanksgiving 2009. With our elders' blessing, we began pursuing that. We put our house on the market. And, you know, this was in a time where homes weren't selling. And so Greg approached the elders and said, you know, what should we do? And they said, well, if you have opportunity to sell, sell. We didn't know if we were going to even be granted a visa. So in January 2010, we listed our home in Fontana on the market. And, you know, we didn't even know if we were going to get a visa. So, but as only God can do, he sold our home in 5 weeks. And so now we're homeless. So what do? You move in with the in-laws. And so we did. We moved in with Greg's parents in Corona, and all Greg and I and our then 10-year-old moved in a bedroom, one bedroom, with a dog. The dog had to come too. And so we began the visa process of applying for the visa, and Immigration New Zealand has a policy. They have a list of medical conditions with which they automatically deny visas. Well, God in his sovereign plan chose to give our son Micah cystic fibrosis, and that was on their list. So we knew that getting a visa would be an act of God. But with faith, we began pursuing that. So here we are, our prayer card photo. So Micah's 10 years old in that photo. And so just to give you an idea of where we are, on the right-hand side of your screen, it says Hawke's Bay. That's where we are. So the North Island. The city is Hastings. I couldn't find a map that said Hastings, so there we go. Now, Greg's ministry. Greg was originally asked to develop the program at Shepherd's Bible College. As I mentioned earlier, they discovered they wanted to offer the students more coursework, so he was hired to develop the program. The day we got there, we learned that one of the faculty members had resigned. And so Greg was, of course, asked to teach the classes that this lecturer had been teaching. So immediately he's thrown into the classroom and began teaching there. And we began getting involved with students' lives and so forth. So when I say lecturer, that's what he calls himself. You know, we would say professor, but they prefer to call them lectures. He's now the vice principal. He's sort of worked his way up a little bit. But the men, you know, it didn't take long before the men saw that he was very capable. Greg has an ability to organize things, and he can just sort of see the way ahead and just sort of orchestrate things so that, you know, things get done. And so when something needed to be done, guess who they call on? He's also, now he put this in there, he's the executive team of the Christian Theological Ministry Education Society. Don't ask me what that is, I have no idea. But I do know it's time consuming. And, so he has to travel and attend all these meetings, and yeah, it's kind of a waste of time. But it does enable him to see what other Christian schools are doing. So it does have some advantages and benefits. He's also, again, he put this in there, executive pastor. He said, all ladies of grace will know what this means. Not long ago, we lost our associate pastor who went to a city 3 hours away to be the pastor there. And it was a very good move for him and his family, but it left a hole at Riverbend. And so, of course, who fills the hole? Craig. Because he sees needs and he wants to do whatever he possibly can to meet those needs. He's involved in discipleship. He's involved in counseling. He heads up the counseling ministry. He's probably close to a year ago became an elder at Riverbend. So, of course, that adds elders' meetings and, you know, issues to solve and a barrage of other things. I put the term fireman. Obviously, he's not out with a hose fighting fires. But, you know, issues come up. Problems arise. And, you know, as I said, he can see the way ahead, and he can solve, he knows how to solve problems, and, you know, he can see the biblical answer for whatever the issue is. So the last year has been rather difficult. There's been one fire to put out. Okay, we just get that issue solved, and three other fires start. So he's been fighting a lot of fires and solving lots of problems. He's also been sort of ushered into preaching a bit here and there. And with the departure of our associate pastor, he's also become the ministry coordinator because, you know, again, he can sort of organize things and he can, you know, he can orchestrate all these details. And so he's coordinating all these ministries. And he does have a knack at seeing your giftedness and knowing how to weave you into that position where you can be used and you can use your gifts without, you know, without him coming to you and saying, hey, Lynn, maybe you could head up the nursery? You know, maybe. He doesn't do that. He just sort of figures out people's giftedness, and he has a way of talking to people and interacting with people such that you think of, oh, I want to head up the nursery. And so he has a real knack at that. This is just an aerial shot of Riverbend. I had no idea how to do a PowerPoint presentation, so he helped me with this, and this was, again, his idea to put in an aerial shot of Riverbend. But that just shows you sort of the campus. It is surrounded by apple orchards. Hastings and the Hawke's Bay is known as the Fruit Bowl of New Zealand, and they do provide apples, plums, pears, you know, peaches worldwide. So more than likely, if you've ever bought a New Zealand apple, it would be from Hastings. And this is Russell and Liz Honig. Does this bring a tear to your eyes, you guys? Russell and Liz, they are true servants. Russell, as I mentioned, is the pastor at Riverbend, the senior pastor, and he's also the principal at the Shepherd's Bible College. These two just minister from morning until night, every single day. They are, I was going to say they're tireless, but obviously they get tired. They just, truly, from sunrise until sunset, they are just serving, ministering. And their home is the Honig Hotel because they have visitors all the time. And, you know, you think a visitor might come for the weekend? No, they come for weeks at a time. And they've had visitors for months at a time. And often the visitors overlap. So guess where we lived when we first got to New Zealand for several weeks while we were looking for a place to live. So that's Russell and Liz. This is a frontal shot of Impact. Impact is a conference much like Shepherd's Conference, although, you know, obviously on a minute scale. But Impact falls at Queen's Birthday weekend, which is the end of May and early June. And upwards of 600 people come from all over New Zealand, a few from Australia come, and they invite speakers down from Grace. We've had John and Janie Street. We've had Jack and Lisa Hughes. I don't know if you can see, but in the front row is Adam Tyson, who was just there last week as well for our sports camp. And we've had as well Mark and Lisa Tatlock. So they invite speakers down to speak to this at this conference. And of course, there's a theme that's chosen ahead of time. This is another job that Greg has been handed. In the past, we've had Nigel and Serena Shaler, who have done a great job of organizing this Impact Conference, but they're in the process of getting a visa to come over and work with Chris Mueller out in Marietta. So Greg was given the baton for managing this conference. And, you know, he's just loaded with good ideas of how to do things more efficiently and how to do things for less money. And, you know, the conference attendees pay about $300 to attend. Greg wants to do it for free. And he's got it all worked out where, you know, Riverbend doesn't have to fork out that much money to supplement the costs and the expenses. You know, he's just got it all worked out because he's got all these ideas, and he shares his ideas with me sometimes, and I think, wow, how did you come up with that? But he also is very wise about how he shares the ideas. He just doesn't come in and say, hey, let's do this, you know, and next week there's a change. No, he just sort of takes his time and introduces the idea to the men, to the elders, and just sort of, you know, is very humble about how he introduces his fabulous ideas. And he doesn't want the credit. He doesn't care about the credit. He doesn't care about titles. He just wants to see the ministry advance for the kingdom of Christ. Now, my ministry. He wrote this, wife to Greg, mom to Micah, and my son came along and said, do you really need to say mom to Micah? So that's what I do. Obviously, they're my priority. And recently, my ministry has scaled back a little bit, and I'll explain that as I go. But I'm very thankful for that because I can be more of a support to him. I try to sit down with him on Sunday afternoon just as we're sitting around relaxing. And I'll ask him, you know, what specific meetings he has on that week, what time they are, you know, who is the meeting with? Because I want to pray more specifically than just, you know, Lord, please give him wisdom. I do pray that a lot. Lord, please give him wisdom. But I want to pray more specifically. So I want to know, you know, who the meeting is with, if he's able to tell me, if he's able to share that, and, you know, how significant the meeting is. Sometimes, you know, it might be a counseling case, it might be, you know, might be impact related, it might, you know, might be a barrage of things, but that enables me to pray more effectively, more specifically. I've also been involved in a bit of discipling, which, frankly, I never did that before we got to New Zealand. And so I was just kind of thrown in and just sort of had to learn as I went. And I thought, okay, Lord, here we are. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to do this through me. I do a bit of counseling, although I don't have any counseling cases at the moment. My main ministry right now, outside of the home, is the Ladies Bible Study Leader. I'll get to that when I get to that slide. The coffee ministry, I go to coffee with ladies a lot, and it's quite fun. But I have found that ladies will open up and share what they wouldn't otherwise share over a cup of coffee because the environment is neutral. You know, it's they're not as vulnerable with what they're sharing. So I have found that often the ladies will just open up and say, I've never shared this with anyone. So that's what I mean by coffee ministry. And, of course, hospitality. We do have people over for lunch. I have found that Sunday lunch is the best time to have people over. Weeknights are just too busy. Friday nights are a little too tiring after the week. And then Saturday nights, you know, we just want to be prepared for Sunday. So I've found that Sunday lunch is the best time to have people over. Now, that's not the only time I have people over, but I found that that's the best time. This is B and Kelsa. B is, let's see, 20. And she is studying at the Master's College right now. She is one of our elder's daughters. She's the oldest of six children. And she, as I said, she's a student at Master's. So this semester she's in Israel. But when she was still there in New Zealand, she approached me and asked if I would disciple her. And I said, are you sure you want me to disciple you? And she was like, yeah, I do. So it started with, you know, just texting. She would text me and say, oh, I'm really struggling with, you know, such and such. And she often didn't even tell me what she was struggling with, but I would text her back, okay, I'll pray for you, and, you know, and share a verse with her. And so it started with that, and then it just sort of really sort of gradually grew into a deeper relationship. Kelsa is a nurse in our local hospice. She is 23. I started discipling Kelsa along with another girl, Michelle, who's obviously not in this photo, but I met with them in our first year there, and we began through going through Lisa Tatlock and Pat Ennis's book, and just sort of, you know, moved through that study. Michelle married a Shepherd's Bible College student. She's American, by the way. Met her on her first day in New Zealand, and we immediately hit it off because she's from Nevada, and I spent part of my childhood in Nevada, so we immediately hit it off. Speaking of Michelle, not Bea or Kelsa, but I did meet with Michelle and Kelsa for a wee while. This next photo is TSBC female students. I put female in there, because obviously TSBC is made up of a lot of guys. But so on the left, on your left is Lizzie, and then Annalise, and Angela, and then of course me. Annalise is involved in Bible in Schools, which is a program that teaches a Bible lesson in public schools. She's been faithful with that. She has two classes, an elementary school age and then a high school age. So she's been very faithful with that. Angela has married since this photo was taken, and her husband has two teenage boys. So now she's a mom to two teenage boys and helping her husband with his business. This is Sean and Kiri. Sean is a policeman. They live on the South Island on in Nelson, which is the north part of the South Island. And Sean took a year of leave from his work as a policeman to come study at Shepherd's. And they live with us, sort of not with us, but we, on our ground floor of our house, we have a self-contained unit. And so they have been living there in the apartment for the entire school year. She is pregnant in this photo, so they've just had a baby a little over a month ago. But he's been faithful to just study and study and study and study and study. And so he is going back to his work in Nelson when he graduates, which is just a few weeks away. But he's torn because now he wants to go into ministry. And so he's struggling with, you know, how the Lord's going to use him and what the Lord's going to do. And he's got to support his family. So he's going to go back to police work. But yeah, he's struggling with, you know, what the Lord's going to do in their lives. And this is my group in Heart and Soul, which is what the Ladies Bible Study calls themselves. Every term we have a different group of ladies, so this is my group for this term. The Heart and Soul is made up of about 40 women who meet to study the Word. And we have three female leaders. And each of us leaders are given the opportunity to choose what we want to study. Then that is announced to the ladies, and the ladies can choose which study they want to be a part of. Some of the ladies study a specific book of the Bible. Most of us study, you know, books written by humans, Jerry Bridges, you know, Lisa Tatlock, and, you know, whoever else, Elise Fitzpatrick and Lenny Brownback, those kinds of authors. So I have been doing that since I arrived, so 3 years now. This is my dear friend Jan. Now, I just put this in here because I was looking for some photos just to put in here, but I don't minister to Jan. Jan ministers to me. You probably know what I mean by that. Jan, I call Jan Trials with Grace, because she has had a number of trials in her life, as you might imagine. She lost her husband a little over a year ago, but her husband had lots of health problems, was blind or nearly blind most of his adult life. So, you know, she had to help him a lot. I think he also got Parkinson's, is that right? Later in life, he got Parkinson's, and so she had to, you know, be his full-time carer. But she was busy with all sorts of women's ministry, and she often has someone in for lunch and dinner on the same day. So she's busy, and she is known for walking, like power walking in the morning, and she takes her little rose clippers and trims the rose bushes that she thinks need a trim. So she has a reputation. She has a reputation for doing that, but she also has a reputation for being the scone maker. She makes beautiful scones. So I just put this in here because she's dear. She's a dear lady. Robin and Pam are our neighbors. They live across the road from us. And let's see. Recently, Greg has started to disciple Robin. This is one of those cases where Greg sees giftedness. Robin is a nuclear physicist. He doesn't work as a nuclear physicist in New Zealand. There's not a real huge market for nuclear physicists in New Zealand, but he works in IT, and he's just faithful to go to work and just, you know, do his job. But Greg sees, you know, some good useful qualities in Robin, because he's an analytical thinker. And so Greg, you know, will get him involved in, you know, how can we make this better? What do we do about this? And he's got him making flow charts and, you know, how do we... So that's what I mean when I say he's good at, you know, seeing your giftedness and figuring out how to use that. Pam, I wouldn't say I'm not discipling her formally, but we do go to coffee a lot. And we talk about the kids, and Greg has counseled them significantly. Their daughter pictured here has been on a downward spiral for a long time, just making bad choices, and doesn't want to follow the rules in the home and those sorts of things. So we've been interacting with them for quite some time, just trying to help them through this phase of their lives and just trying to help them honor the Lord, really. Micah. Year 9 at Hastings Christian School, and then, you know, again, Greg helped me with this, so here we go, sports, rugby, volleyball, you know, mountain biking, and cystic fibrosis is a big part of his life, but it just means that he has to do respiratory treatments twice a day and take medications, and it provides a bit of need for extra prayer when it comes to the visas. So here he is in the first day of school, 2010. And there's a shot of him playing basketball, and one playing rugby, and one doing yachting. And this is futsal, which is indoor soccer, so that's a few of the boys that he plays with. We're really thankful that the Lord's given him wonderful friends, and these boys are good kids. You know, kids are kids, but those boys are good kids. This was on our South Island trip early this year. Another one of the same. And 2013, so he has grown a fair bit. And then this was a recent school formal that he attended, so it was real cute to see him get all dressed up. I mean, this is my kid who... has hated belts since he was about, you know, 3 years old. And we had to go buy, you know, a collared shirt and, you know, slacks. And he wanted the sport coat, so Mom bought him a sport coat. The tie he borrowed from a friend. The Johnstons, you probably know that Matthew and Lisa Johnston. There, Matthew has been hired as the assistant pastor. as I mentioned earlier, we've lost our associate, and don't ask me what the difference of between associate and assistant is. Greg could tell you, but I won't go there. But anyway, Matthew has been hired to help out with youth and to oversee the counseling ministry and just fill in wherever they need him. So he's going to be a real asset. They are due to arrive in January. And then this is on our South Island trip again, down in Bluff, which is at the very tip of the South Island. So I just thought I'd throw in some Kiwi-isms. Bring a plate. I'll tell you the first opportunity I had to figure out what this meant. You know, at the end of each school year, they offer a prize giving, which is like the award ceremony. And the school newsletter came out and it gave the details of the prize giving, and it said, all families, please bring a plate. And I thought, what does that mean? So I read it a few more times. All families, please bring a plate. All families, oh, okay. What they're asking is, you know, for you to bring a plate of goodies, snacks, for, you know, to put out for morning tea, or in this case, it was supper, which is supper is after dinner. We have breakfast, morning tea, which is a mid-morning snack, and then we have lunch, and then we have afternoon tea, which is between lunch and tea, which is dinner. Tea is dinner. You get that? Tea is dinner, so they call dinner tea, and then supper is before you go to bed. So are you confused? So bring a plate. When you're told to bring a plate, you're just meant to bring something to contribute to the food that's being served. Now, if you're told to get it sorted, that means work it out. You know, get it sorted. Get your Christmas plans sorted. You know, work out your Christmas. Figure out what you're going to do this Christmas. Okay, if you're told to bring your togs, that's your swimsuit or your swim trunks. And I won't tell you the first time I heard that, but anyway, togs are a swimsuit or trunks. A script is simply a prescription. But, you know, the first time you hear these things, it's like, what? Your dressing gown is your bathrobe. A pram is a baby stroller. A smack is a spanking. And, of course, a trolley, you probably know that one, is a shopping cart. A docket. Do you have your docket? They're asking, do you have a receipt for this purchase? Pegs are clothespins. You know, the weatherman on windy days will say, double peg your washing, which means, you know, put an extra peg on, because that's the thing to do, is hang your washing outside, your wet clothes outside. Of course, jandals, you probably know that one. Jandals are thongs or flip-flops. And then a singlet. What is a singlet? Well, a singlet is just an undershirt, you know? And isn't it more of a tank top than a t-shirt with sleeves? Yeah, so it's more of a tank top type undershirt. And, of course, gum boots are I think you call them wellies. No? You're not farmers. You're not farmers. Okay, all good. I like this one. All good. It's all good. It's okay. Everything's okay. And then good as gold. I don't hear this one a lot, but yeah, I do hear it sometimes. Good as gold. Everything's great. Just good as gold. And then if you put your hand up, you're not literally putting your hand up. You're just volunteering to, you know, clear the table, or volunteering to, you know, be in the nursery, or, you know, if you put your hand up to work with the youth, you don't literally put your hand up, but you know, you phone somebody and say, hey, I'm willing to work with the youth. So, and there's lots more that we've had to learn of these Kiwi-isms, but it's fun. It's been very fun. So just for your encouragement, I have these few verses, 2 Corinthians 2. I'll just read it from the screen because I probably can't read that. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Isn't that true? And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved. and among those who are perishing. Verses 16 and 17, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Not me. For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. So just share that for your encouragement. So just some prayer requests as I wrap up. Just covet your prayers for the transitions that are happening at Riverbend. Lots and lots of transitions. And then as well, Greg's leadership responsibilities, they are very, very heavy at the moment. Of course, for TSBC, the students, the finances, the church strengthening through training, that's what we're all about, is church strengthening through training up men and women to serve in the body of Christ. Block courses are a course that the students can take. They are offered Friday night, all day Saturday, and Sunday if the professor hasn't finished all the coursework. So those are offered in several cities around New Zealand, which opens up the opportunity for people to take a course who wouldn't otherwise be in our area. And then my prayer request is just, I wrote, I'm just a clay pot with many cracks. and then for Micah's salvation and growth. He actually saw this when I was finishing up my presentation. He said, "Why is that on there, Mom?" Because in his mind, you know, he thinks he's saved, but all I know is I don't see the fruit. So that's why I included the growth there as well. And then we've just are in the process of applying for residency. We sent in the paperwork. It came back a week later, and they didn't accept my birth certificate because it doesn't have my parents' names on it. And didn't accept Greg's birth certificate because it was a copy. And they didn't accept the two previous chest x-rays that were already done for Micah. So they wanted a more recent chest x-ray to make sure, you know, there's not, you know, any significant bugs in his lungs. So we just ask you to pray for that as well. Oh. Yeah, okay, I'll leave that one up there. Do I have time for questions, Jill, or no? Five to one? Okay. So just if it, does there, yes, Dolores?
Yeah, the four women in the seminary.
Yeah.
And you need to explain to these ladies why you would have ladies.
Well, it's not a seminary. It's a Bible college. Much like Masters, although Masters is a liberal arts college, we are a Bible college. So that's why the ladies come to be prepared for women's ministries, for teaching children. As I said, Annalise is involved in children's ministry. And we've had other girls who were not pictured that are doing the same thing. We've just, this last school holidays, two of those girls conducted a children's program, you know, similar to what we would know as Vacation Bible School. And we collected kids from just down the road in one of the poorer neighborhoods, drove them to church, and they had a week-long children's program for these kids. You know, they had never heard the gospel before. And some of them are coming back to our boys' rally, girls' rally, which is kind of not really Awana, but, you know, a weeknight kids program. So does that answer your question? Okay, good. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much again, Jill.